meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hello and welcome to The Winds of Change. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony. Let us start. As it's noon, let's start with the Angelus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary,
and she conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord.
Be it done unto me according to thy word.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh.
And dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. So again, welcome to the Winds of Change. Again, David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony. And on a very special day today, it is the feast of a very special woman, St. Clare. And I'll be having my guest here with me. We'll be speaking more about her in just a moment. But just a few comments about what's been happening here in the world. We all were a little bit dismayed and uncomfortable, I think, with the vote in Ohio, which pretty much opened a door for a very difficult amendment to the Constitution that would very much enshrine, abortion and many anti-life things in the Constitution there. It's happened in Michigan already, and I think this is the battle we're in. You know, we're in that post-Roe versus Wade time where everybody thought the end of Roe versus Wade was going to mean the end of abortion. Well, it's not. It didn't. And I think we're now seeing what people are all about in some states and some places, these practices, and not just abortion, but all these anti-life pieces of legislation, which are getting such play in some areas, are really being really overridden and suppressed in others. So we have a lot of prayer. We have to do. Again, I am the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army, and we are an army of prayer, an army on its knees. That's how we were founded back 76 years ago, and a lot more to pray for. So I think nothing to be despair, and these are battle. In every war, there are battles lost. So this is maybe a lost battle, but it's a war we're going to win. And we have to do this for the sake of the unborn. We have to do this for the sake of our society, because we have to bring our society back to being a Christian one. So we study the saints, right? And I think nobody better to study, I think, than a saint of the day is St. Clare of Assisi. You know, we hear, about St. Francis, and we think about the people that he influenced, not only the Franciscans, and of course, I don't know how many Franciscan groups are out there. I mean, I don't think St. Francis himself even knows in heaven, to tell you the truth. And because there's constant reforms of the order, and of course he founded the friars in there, and of course the sisters. And St. Clair came as his spiritual daughter, and he directed her. But enough from me, because I'm just a simple devoted layman, but I have somebody here with me who's going to explain more about St. Clair, St. Francis, and Franciscan spirituality, and how it plays in our society, and how it needs to be applied to our society today. The simplicity of the order, the simplicity of the founding, and how that today can help us maybe reclaim our society. I have with me here Brother Pius Gagné of Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Brother Pius serves as the co-chaplain at the Blue Army Shrine, our shrine in Washington, New Jersey. And I said, "Now, okay, here I got to do the show today, and I'm going to do it on St. Clair. Got to bring one of the CFRs in for this." So I called Brother Pius, and here he is. So, Brother Pius, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, David. I think that St. Clair is such a timely saint for today, although she might not appear to be so on the surface. The Franciscan order was founded by St. Francis, and he was really a reluctant founder. You know, he had this inspiration through an encounter with Christ to give up everything. He was a wealthy merchant's son, and he gave it all away. And really, initially, he started by interpreting this message he received from the Lord, which was, "Repair my house, which you can see is falling into ruin." Well, he was inside of a chapel that was falling apart. So St. Francis, being a very practical guy, said, "Okay." And he started literally rebuilding churches with his bare hands. He repaired three different churches within the town of Assisi. And slowly, people started to see what he was doing, the joy with which he was doing it, and they wanted a taste of the joy that he had, because he didn't have any of the things he had before. He threw away his status. He had wanted to go be a knight and to fight in these wars and to gain worldly glory. And the Lord basically said to him, "The glory you're going to receive is going to be different than you think." And Francis was humble enough to say, "Okay, I'll take a step back." He was sort of forced to take a step back because he was injured and actually a prisoner of war for a time. And then he received this revelation from the Lord after hours and hours and hours and days and days and days in silence and in prayer, listening for the Lord's voice. And so he started repairing churches, and people started following him. And shortly thereafter, he encounters this young noblewoman, Claire of Assisi. She was from the neighboring town, and basically those two towns were at war. If you look at the history of the towns of Italy in Umbria, there were all sorts of wars between people. Claire was part of a very wealthy family. She was extremely beautiful. And so her family had the idea, "We're going to marry her to someone wealthy and sort of increase our status through marrying off our gorgeous daughter to somebody." And Claire saw St. Francis, spoke to him, must have been somewhat clandestinely. And then on the feast of Palm Sunday, she runs away, goes to the Church of Our Lady of the Angels, and she is received by St. Francis. He cuts her beautiful hair and gives her a habit and hides her with the Benedictines. And her family was completely livid that she would do this. And they basically came after her to try to drag her home. And it wasn't until they saw her and she revealed that she had cut her beautiful hair and had dedicated herself to Christ that her family basically gave up. And within a very short time, her sister Agnes did the same thing. And it's pretty remarkable how the Lord takes care of his brides. When they came to get Agnes, Claire was praying, and basically they tried to take Agnes away physically by force. And through the prayers of St. Clare, she became so heavy that four men couldn't lift her off the ground. And at that, they sort of backed off and said, okay, something crazy is happening here. And her life began to take on this trajectory of living the Franciscan charism, living it differently than the friars did, but a unique call to follow Christ, poor, chaste, and humble.
Very beautiful, yeah. And those are the words, pure, chaste, and humble. And I think that's really what, you know, and what are those, you know, poverty, chastity, obedience. I mean, but that's a fact that I've known more of the story of St. Francis over the years. I've visited there many times and found that his, I guess it's like, I think it was Solzhenitsyn that made the statement one time when he was talking about the persecutions in Russia. Once they take everything from you, they have no control over you. And I think that really does explain the whole concept of poverty and religious life, okay? If you're not attached to the things of the world doesn't have the same control over you as it does for others. I mean, myself included. I mean, we worry about our bills, we worry about, and we have to because we're in different worlds. I mean, I'm running an apostolate with many employees, and yes, I mean, I have more than one sleepless night every year, think, okay, I got to pay these bills. I got this coming up. But, and I think, God wants his religious removed from that so that they can then concentrate more on the holiness. Mm-hmm. I think then that's what you're, I'm sure, taught in your formation as a Franciscan, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is a freedom to poverty. And we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but they tried to convince St. Francis to take monasteries and to have income and all this sort of stuff. And he says, hey, if we have property, that means we have to have soldiers to defend it, and we have to have all this stuff that comes along with ownership of things. And Francis felt a call from the Lord to be completely empty-handed, to be completely stripped of everything of the world, as he said to his father in a very dramatic fashion, when his father asked for the return of his money and the fabric that he sold to get money to repair the churches, he basically stripped down to his breeches and said, I used to call Pietro Bernardone my father, but now I can truly say, our Father who art in heaven. He experienced this freedom of having nothing to worry about and casting all his cares on the Lord.
And that's the beautiful. It's the detachment from the world. Our Christ himself was very detached. He came in, born in a stable, and died in an ignominious fashion. I mean, by world standards, and that's what St. Francis and others. But I mean, St. Francis probably the biggest, example of someone who lived that simplicity Christian, the simplicity of Christ, better than others. And it is. I've always been very impressed with that. I think, of course, I worked a lot with your order for many years, and my dear friend, the late Father Andrew Apostoli. I always admired his. I remember when he was sick, before he passed away, and somebody made a comment to him. He goes, "It's about he had this really nice cane somebody had given him," and he made a comment, "Gee, Father, I really like that cane. Maybe someday," he goes, "Yeah, about all I've got," he says, "the cane, my habits, and that's about the end of that." He goes, so it makes passing on the estate a little bit easier at that point, But again, that truly is what it's about. I mean, and even wealthy people can be simple. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obviously poverty is not necessarily material poverty. Mm-hmm. Poverty is that poverty of the heart, to truly understand that every breath you take comes from God. Mm-hmm. That's really being, there are people who are materially poor who really aren't that poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. So I mean, there's a little more to it than we have to think about that. But that's, I think, what we have to strive for as Catholics, and we strive for that moment when we die and we make it to heaven, or we make it, or at least to sanctity, make it to purgatory, because I'm sure that I, as well as many, have merited many millennia there. I hope, by the mercy of God, I won't have to serve it all. Hopefully I make it in the first place. But I always say that, we really do have to become materially poor. We have to take a break here. And when we come back, I want to speak. Brother Pius just accompanied us on a beautiful trip to the Holy Land. And it has Franciscan spirituality all over the place, which goes back to St. Francis going in. So David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on the Winds of Change on EWTN Catholic Radio, Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
You are invited to attend the Father's Tom Art Show, inspiring faith in God through beauty with Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Coyes, Sunday afternoon, August 13th from 2 until 4. You'll enjoy original art by both priest artists, Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Coyes. Stroll through the different galleries featuring original art while also enjoying a light summer sangria wine and cheese buffet. Learn how beauty can lead to a deeper longing for the divine artist. That's the Father's Tom Art Show with both artist priests, Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Coyes. Sunday afternoon from 2 until 4, August 13th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 South Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. The Father's Tom Art Show is co-sponsored by Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church and the Sagbridge Mission Society.
I'm David Carollo, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear winds of change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and my guest is Brother Pius Gagne, CFR, Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. And when we went to the break, we were talking a bit about St. Clare and her poverty, but you made a statement. You want to talk about the privilege of poverty. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so St. Francis and St. Clare sort of had this holy obsession with poverty in particular. And the idea behind it is not to sort of race to have the least amount of stuff, right? That doesn't equate with poverty because, as David mentioned, you can be very poor and still be hoping that you win the lotto so you can get that Ferrari or the Maserati you wanted and a mansion or whatever, you know? But this disposition of heart of poverty, it's an imitation of our Lord's poverty. Because of, in the letter to the Philippians, there's this thing called the kenotic hymn, which in Greek means the self-emptying hymn, where Jesus empties himself of all the privileges of his divine nature to take on our humanity. He makes himself poor so that by his poverty, we might become rich. And Francis and Clare both grasped this insight very, very deeply. And so there was a little bit of drama, as you can imagine, in the church, particularly for the poor Clares, because the poor Clares are a cloistered order. They're the second order of the Franciscans. And so they live a life of extreme poverty. And the Pope himself, who was a dear friend of St. Francis, tried over and over and over again to convince St. Clare to do something to take money, to get money, to be able to support the sisters. And she said, I want us to subsist by divine providence. And basically, everyone thought she was crazy. And similarly, they thought the same thing about St. Francis. There was a point where the rule of St. Francis was brought before the Holy Father, and they're like, these guys are going to starve to death, or they're going to start begging the church to take care of them. And it was this cardinal, very powerful cardinal, who said, if we say that it's impossible to live the gospel as it's written, we may be finding ourselves fighting against the Holy Spirit, sort of similar to what's in the Acts of the Apostles. And so St. Clare for the majority of her religious life, was arguing with the Holy Father and with cardinals in the church about this point, about the privilege of remaining poor with the poor Christ. And again, the desire for this has nothing to do with how much you have or how much you don't. It has to do with the heart being open and available to receive the providence of God. When Jesus says in the gospel, you know, look at the lilies of the field, look at the birds of the sky, they neither toil nor sow, you know, they just are and are provided for by their Father. And it's a sort of frightening proposition when you think about it, to totally rely on God's providence. But in a way, this paradoxical thing of living the privilege of poverty is a way to see God provide concretely and directly in your everyday situations. And I can give you a funny example. For us as friars, we take donations. We don't have, you know, bank accounts of our own. We don't really get salaries, all this sort of stuff. I remember when I was a postulant, we were going to make some breaded chicken cutlets for the brothers. And we didn't have flour, which is an essential ingredient if you're going to make some chicken cutlets. And so me and a few other postulants, we all said a prayer. And we basically said to the Lord, Jesus, we're poor for you. We need you to provide. If you want us to make the chicken, we need flour. And I kid you not, within an hour or two, I answered the doorbell, and this
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org. You are invited to attend the Father's Tom Art Show, inspiring faith in God through beauty with Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Coyes. Sunday afternoon, August 13th, from 2 until 4. You'll enjoy original art by both priest artists, Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Coyes. Stroll through the different galleries featuring original art, while also enjoying a light summer sangria wine and cheese buffet. Learn how beauty can lead to a deeper longing for the divine artist. That's the Father's Tom Art Show with both artist priests, Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Coyes. Sunday afternoon from 2 until 4, August 13th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 South Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. The Father's Tom Art Show is co-sponsored by Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church and the Sag Bridge Mission Society.
I'm David Carollo, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststandschicago.org. You are invited to attend the Father's Tom Art Show, inspiring faith in God through beauty with Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Foyes, Sunday afternoon, August 13th from 2 until 4. You'll enjoy original art by both priest artists, Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Foyes. Stroll through the different galleries featuring original art while also enjoying a light summer sangria wine and cheese buffet. Learn how beauty can lead to a deeper longing for the divine artist. Sunday afternoon from 2 until 4, August 13th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 South Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Co-sponsored by Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church and the Sag Bridge Mission Society.
Greetings, Dave. Are you there? Dave, we're right there. Greetings. Glad to have you back. Give me a second. Welcome back, Dave.
Nick, are you there?
Yes, Dave. Welcome, and I'm glad to have your cat back.
Sorry about that, folks. We were we lost connection. I don't know what went on here, but
yes, Dave. Greetings.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody. I'm so sorry we've lost this connection a couple times here, but I can say the devil doesn't like the subject we're on. I have to say that much. So anyway, so I'll give it back to Brother Pius to continue what he was saying.
All right. So I don't know exactly where it left off. So what I'll say is that even amongst Franciscans, there's like a holy competition. You know, you have, at one point there were the Friars of the Strict Observance, and there was another group called the Friars of the Very Strict Observance, and there was another order called the Friars of the Strictest Observance, you know? And, you know, you didn't even have a lint ball in your cell, you know, you're trying to be so poor. But the reality is that no matter how much you have or don't have materially, what matters is, as Christ says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And that Christ is to be our sole possession. And the privilege of poverty for us, the privilege of poverty for Lady Claire, our Mother Claire, was precisely to have this radical availability to the Lord, to, in a way that's similar to chastity, in providing for an undivided heart to love God with. This is an unencumbering, right? A sort of throwing off any of the burdens of worldly concerns and totally trusting in the Lord. And each of us in our daily lives can do that to a certain extent. It doesn't mean that you're going to live like a Franciscan friar of the renewal. You know, we have certain things and we don't have a lot of things that most people do. But to ask the Lord for the grace of holy detachment, for the grace to be able to let go of those sorts of things that the world uses as a status symbol. Because ultimately, the thing that Francis and Claire saw had little to do with their possessions. It had to do with their identity as a son and a daughter of the Father. And so often, our material achievements, our material goods, become those means by which we measure our worth and our value in the world. By the car you drive, by the paycheck you have, by the neighborhood you live in. And all of those things are passing and mostly lies. Because a person living in a hovel in Haiti has as much dignity and perhaps even more love from the Father's heart than a rich man who treats the poor terribly, right? The reality is we are meant to live as sons and daughters of the Father, and to let that be the source of our identity, not what we have, not titles that we acquire or letters and whatever after our name. It's being a son or a daughter of the Father. And if we're secure in that reality, whatever we have or don't have, it passes through our fingers like water.
Very, very true. I mean, I know, it's funny, I know people who are well off, I know people who are poor, and the rich people don't seem any happier, I mean, necessarily. I mean, not in the true sense of happiness. I mean, certainly, you know, I don't really know people that are in abject poverty. I mean, you, of course, you know, as a friar, you deal with people more in those situations. But people I know that are struggling, employees I've had that have struggled, you know, friends we've had, you know, their perspective is better. It's an understanding that, you know, and I know people with a lot of money, and they're concerned about keeping that money, I think, to a great degree. You know, there are scripture passages about that, you know, about, you know, a rich man is worried about keeping his wealth. Well, and there's something to be said for that. And again, it's not saying that having material possessions is a bad thing, because it's not. But there is this whole idea that we can't live for that, you know. And yes, in this country and in the West in general, where we are more affluent, let's be realistic, you know, that tends to become the case, or can. But keeping in mind, too, there's no shame or sin in having wealth. You know, we're a country that has, people work hard, and as a result, there is a lot more material goods that we possess. But you have to know, you have to keep it all in perspective.
Right.
You really, really do, you know.
Right. I think what comes to mind is the parable of the talents.
Yeah.
You know, that Jesus gives each of us, you know, the talent was not originally a reference to like our gifts and talents. It was a sum of money, a pretty hefty sum of money. And how you dealt with that led to you receiving authority over kingdoms. And again, there, like you said, David, there is no sin in having a lot of stuff, and you're not any holier for not having stuff. The question is, do you own your possessions, or do your possessions own you? And I think that the more we can cultivate a disposition of seeing what we have as a stewardship, as something that God has entrusted to us, and using wisely the things of earth. Jesus praises those who are able to be wise as serpents and simple as doves, to use the gifts that we have for the building up of the kingdom. You know, unfortunately, if you look around, there are all sorts of things that you can spend crazy amounts of money on that are toys, that are useless, you know, that could feed an entire country perhaps for a couple of days. But I think the question we need to ask ourselves, and we need to be honest and sincere with the Lord, is what are you calling me to do with the riches that I have? What are you calling me to do with the gifts that I have? Maybe you don't have a ton of money, but you have a lot of talent that God wants you to use for the kingdom. Always, it's a matter of relationship and dialogue with Christ.
Well, we always say for people who come in our apostolate, you know, there are three things: time, treasure, and talent. Okay, some have more time, some have more treasure, and some have more talent. So you give what you can. Okay, I mean, if I have more treasure and I don't have the time or the talent, then I should give more treasure. If I have more time, I don't have the others, let me give the time, okay? And my talent sometimes. I mean, you do, if I have a talent that others have, well, I better use it for the right thing. Those are the things that God gives us, and it's how we use them, I think, is how we're going to be judged. You know, not that a person has, you know, we have to be careful too of sometimes of false humility, where we think, well, you know, always denigrating ourselves and what we have and what we do. No. If God gave you the talent to speak, if God gave you the talent to, you know, to do certain things, then you use that talent, and you're not bragging to be using it. So you can't have a false humility about those things either. But you have to understand these are all God-given.
Right. Right.
You know.
I think the fundamental kernel of the truth here is Francis and Claire were led by a passionate love for the Lord. Claire talks about, and so beautifully in her femininity, the expression of the Franciscan charism in an authentically feminine way. She was said to be the most perfect follower of St. Francis. But she followed Francis very differently than the friars did. And the reality here is all of these questions, all of these realities exist within the context of a relationship of love. It's not about checking boxes. It's not about any sort of cookie cutter spirituality even. Because even if you look within the Franciscan order, if you look within the different poor Clares who are saints throughout history, each of them used their gifts, their talents, the time period they were within. You think of somebody like a Mother Angelica, who is a poor Clare, who established EWTN very, very beautifully. The call of the Lord always exists in the context of a relationship. It's not about just sort of fulfilling a rote set of commandments. It's about living in a relationship of love and being responsive to that love. If the love of the Lord asks you to give him everything and start repairing churches with your bare hands, you go do it. If the love of the Lord is asking you to start a TV station, you do it. Whatever he wants, you know, and it's that disposition of open-handedness that I'm reminded of the prayer of Saint Therese. She says, "Jesus, at the evening of my life, I'll come before you with empty hands, with no merits of my own." And the idea there, I think it's a very Franciscan idea. I hope the Carmelites don't get too mad at me. The idea there is very Franciscan. My hands are empty so that I can receive everything from the one who loves me.
Yeah, beautiful sentiments, because that's really, I mean, that is the essence of religious life. Okay, you know, and I think, and I before the earlier break, before the little disruption that we had here, I spoke about our recent trip to the Holy Land. And I think, you know, of course, Franciscan spirituality is all over the place, you know, and it goes back to St. Francis himself going there and I mean, when he did, and that's what laid the foundation later for the Franciscans to be given the custody of the Holy Land.
That's right.
All of the tremendous sites. I mean, and that goes back many, many years. And there's the conventional Franciscans, I believe, or which ones are they? You would know better than me.
It's a good question. I think that they are, I think they're the OFMs.
OFMs, I think they are.
From Italy.
From Italy, exactly. They were from Italy, yes. And but they were, you know, but they do such a beautiful job of maintaining and protecting, truly protecting the holy sites and the holy. And again, I, as a person who's been there many, many times, you know, I've experienced that so well, both, you know, in the, well, throughout the Holy Land, but especially when it comes like into Bethlehem and those places, which really are now, you know, they're part of Palestine, you know, and they're in an area that's, you know, very much majority Muslim, interestingly, because that's where St. Francis went, you know, and there is a, I don't know. They just have maintained a spirituality, and I think, you know, it speaks to the charism, and as many reforms of the Franciscans as there have been, you know, as you obviously know much better than me, there is still that underlying spirit of St. Francis.
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what allowed St. Clair to go on. It's what allowed, you know, so many allowed your founders, you know, your seven founders, wasn't it, I believe, you know, to break off again back in, what, 1987, in 1987. And they didn't leave with vitriol towards the other Franciscans. And in reality, they just left, it's time to move on and have another reform, right?
Yeah, the desire there for our founders was really to be more available to serve the poor, which goes all the way back to St. Francis himself. He dedicated himself to working in leper colonies, which is sort of a twist of fate, because he used to be completely disgusted by lepers, to the extent that if he heard the bells of one of them coming, he would hold his nose and run the other direction. And what he describes is there was this time where he was still in the midst of his conversion, and he felt called by the Lord to get off his horse and to give the leper some alms. And he kissed the hand of the leper. And immediately, the leper disappeared. And he realized it was Jesus in the distressing disguise of a leper. And from that point, St. Francis himself, in his testament, says, "What was once bitter for me became sweetness of body and soul."
Yes, you have a beautiful sentiments, but that's exactly it. I mean, you know, Christ manifests himself many different ways, and do we accept it? You know, do we see Christ in people on the street? Do we see Christ in people that repel us? Okay, that you just want to walk away from? You know, and I think we've all had that. Maybe not quite as dramatic as that as St. Francis, but we all have people that great on us in the wrong way. Let's be very honest, okay? You know, and so we have to overcome that, because that is many times Christ, you know, putting you to the test. You know, do you really have that Christ-like heart to be there for people and help them and want to help them? You know, we're an apostolate of prayer. I mean, you know, the Blue Army, the World Apostolate of Fatima. You know, of course, BlueArmy.com has all of our information and all of our resources. But I will say, you know, we are an apostolate of prayer there to help people learn, live, and spread this message of Fatima, which is the message of salvation. It's the message of the church. I have to take another break. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
You are invited to attend the Father's Tom Art Show,
Inspiring Faith in God Through Beauty with Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Foyes. Sunday afternoon, August 13th from 2 until 4. You'll enjoy original art by both priest artists, Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Foyes. Stroll through the different galleries featuring original art while also enjoying a light summer sangria wine and cheese buffet. Learn how beauty can lead to a deeper longing for the divine artist. Sunday afternoon from 2 until 4, August 13th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 South Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Co-sponsored by Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church and the Sag Bridge Mission Society.
I'm David Carollo, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and my guest, Brother Pius Gagné of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. And when we went to break, we were talking more about St. Clare, primarily. This is her feast day, this beautiful feast day of St. Clare. And you had some other perspective on her you wanted to share with everybody.
Yeah, I think that one of the realities that we can lose sight of, particularly in American culture and in American society, is the temptation to look at people in terms of their productivity and what they can do for society, what they can do for the world in terms of like producing things. And it's a very interesting thing. You know, you look at our apostolate, which is an apostolate of prayer, a blue army on its knees, and the Second Order of St. Francis, St. Clare's sisters, are a contemplative order. And really, in places like communist Russia, they destroyed the contemplative monasteries because they were considered to be just sort of mooching off of or leeches on society. They weren't bringing any concrete value to the world. And it's such a skewed perspective because we don't see this side of heaven, perhaps, what our prayers can do. And St. Clare and her sisters felt this profound desire to be like Mary in the gospel, to sit at the feet of Jesus, listening to him speak, to be like Our Lady at the foot of the cross, accompanying him in his pain, to be like Our Lady with the 12 apostles and the disciples in the upper room, praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is an essentially Marian dynamic, which is a major aspect of the church's life in general. And I think that for so many of us who are here listening to this radio show, perhaps we're getting older and we can't do the things we used to be able to do. Maybe the way we used to give was in doing some sort of labor with our hands or other types of works that are very, very visible and concrete. And my encouragement is for all of us to allow God to show us a different way, a way of prayer and of contemplation, a way whereby we can move the hearts of those in leadership. We can move the hearts of people. You know, abortion wouldn't happen if people weren't asking for it. You know, the upheavals that we've seen recently, the unrest within cities and the divides that are tearing our nation apart, part of our job as Catholic Christians, part of the essential heart of the call of Our Lady of Fatima is to pray for poor sinners who don't know Jesus, who haven't encountered him. And your encounter with Jesus has spiritual fruitfulness that extends way beyond yourself. And so to take the time to pray our rosary, to go to adoration if we can, to receive Holy Communion with the intention for the sake of others, to do the five First Saturday devotions, these things which open our hearts and open up graces for the rest of the world, for transformation. I am certain that my vocation is the fruit of prayers of people that I will only meet in heaven. And I have seen people who have had dramatic 180 conversions from crazy lives. And it happened probably because of some lady praying her rosary in the back of the church.
That is absolutely the case. And I think you will see statistics even shown this in the past where like parishes that were in the vicinity of a cloister or something had increased vocations. You have to attribute that to, you know, to the prayers of these sisters and others. And just like you say, the little old lady who stays in church and says the rosary, praying for vocation, praying for her children. I believe my own parents, my mother, my father too, you know, really praying for us children, you know, to be. And I think that's, it's important, I mean, but you're right. You know, we and that's why our apostolate puts so much emphasis on this. I mean, this is what we're about. As you said, we're an army on our knees. That's what it's all about. And I want to give a quick plug to the work here in Chicago with the Blue Army. On the fourth Saturday, for the fourth Friday and Saturday of the month at St. Benedict at 5900 West 147th Street in Oak Forest is the all-night vigil. These all-night vigils have been going on for many, many years. And for more information, you can call 312-405-6625. 312-405-6625 to find out about all of the things that go on within the Chicago Blue Army. I'm a little bit removed from it because, again, I'm running the apostolate nationally, but we have divisions throughout the United States. And, of course, I do come from Chicago. And so that's where I'm, you know, now here. I'm you know, trying to... I'd like to keep promoting more and more because we do have the COVID kind of knocked things out of the box many places, but it's coming back strongly, and it's been we put that I don't even like to use that word anymore. Put it way behind us. Okay? Those are difficult times, but we have many things that we have going. We have our Ave Maria pilgrimage tours. Our company. We just came back from a beautiful trip to the Holy Land. We will be doing that next year again. We have a wonderful trip in November to Fatima. Of course, we own and operate Domus Pace's Fatima Hotel and Retreat Center in Portugal, across the street from the Shrine of Fatima. And please join us. It'll be in November. And again, there are more information. You can go on our website, bluearmy.com. And we're more than happy to sign you up. I mean, this is what it's about. You know, our apostolate is to bring Fatima to the people and bring people to Fatima, because it's very important. Fatima is more relevant today than it was in 1917. St. Pope John Paul II said that years ago, maybe in the 90s. And this has been, it's a fact, because you're seeing in this world today the effects of not following to a great degree, not following what Our Lady warned us to follow. I mean, you know, if my requests are heeded, well, okay, you know, and were they? To some degree they were, and maybe that's why some of the more serious things that, you know, could have happened hasn't. But you know, we're in a time where prophecy has got all kinds of play, okay? Everybody's got this kind of Armageddon mentality that's out there, you know? And I think that's why, again, going back to the simplicity of, like, the Franciscan simplicity and St. Clair and that, you know, did they worry that much about the end of the world? I mean, you know, you worry about your own end. And I don't mean worry in the case that you're frightened in a corner. You have to be cognizant that you're going to have to answer to God for everything you've done. But you know what? If you have gone to confession and confessed those sins, you've already done that, okay? Yes, there's reparation to make, but the reality is, you know, you can't let the past, because that's the biggest enemy, you know, tool of the devil, is to make you never forget. He will remind you of everything you've done that's bad. He remembers. God does not, okay? It's divine to be able to forget, truly forget. And I think that's what we have to do, and Brother Pius, I think, you know, and obviously your mission with the apostolate as well as being a Franciscan, you know, you see so many people that come to the Blue Army Shrine How many people have you met in the time there that are truly hurting and are looking for something more?
I think the beautiful reality at the end of St. Francis's life, you know, he says to the friars, "Brothers, let us begin again, for up to now we have done but little." And there's a way in which, obviously, St. Francis did incredible things. You know, Pope Benedict XIV said he was the most Christ-like person to ever live. I don't know how he measured that, but I'll take it. And the reality is, if we are aware of the fact that we're going into the loving embrace of the house of the Father, right, then the fear gives way to love, because perfect love casts out fear. And so to come to experience the love of God for us, to come and experience the transformation that God can do in our lives, that fear of our sins goes away, because we realize that the love of God is greater than our sin.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what it is. The love is greater. He wants us to be with him. He wants to forgive us, but we have to be contrite. We have to confess our sins and then have that amendment of life, okay? You know, and that's really what it's all about. I mean, you know, what did he say to the woman? You know, go and sin no more. And sin no more. Well, that, you know, it seems nowadays it's go, you're fine, okay, and go do what you're doing. Well, you know, and that's why there are people, you know, even in the church to some degree, who want to normalize things that can never be normalized, okay, you know, especially sexual things. And I think because of that, there's such confusion out there. People just don't seem to understand that you know, one, we have to hate the sin but love the sinner, and you admonish the sinner not because you want to show them you're better. You do it because we need people to understand that they're on a road to perdition, and God, it's the last thing you want, you know. And I think Mother Angelica put it very well when she said, you know, those who tell people what they need to hear love them, and those who tell people what they want to hear love themselves. And I think we have a lot of that, you know, where people do, you know, we're not, you know, living in the way of people like St. Clair. Maybe a couple last words on St. Clair before we wrap
sure.
up.
I would just say that St. Clair is such a wonderful example for us of a life given over to the Lord with an undivided heart. And in our state in life, to whatever extent the Lord invites us, to come to him with an expectation that he wants to do great things in your life, that he wants to move mountains through you, and that the invitation of the gospel is precisely that.
Well, Brother Pius, thank you so much for being here and those great insights. You know, folks, thanks for listening today. Sorry for that little technical glitch we had. For more information on our apostolate, World Positive Fatima, go to BlueArmy.com. BlueArmy.com. Thank you again for listening today, and God bless you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.